This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
And welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every week we're here and we're doing life together with you. And we're really glad you joined us this Saturday.
That's right. It's great to be back on the radio. You can join Dr. Linda on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. Her website is drlindamental.com. And this just in, literally, Instagram.
That's right, at Dr. Linda Mental.
At Dr. Linda Mental.
So high-tech.
You'll be posting to Instagram then. Okay.
I have to say that Hannah Duke is one of our interns, and she's helping me with that Instagram. I can't take any credit for that, honestly.
Well, your latest book is called We Need to Talk, and it's an excellent resource for relationship conflict, and I would advise anyone to get a copy. I've got a copy.
I know you do. Have you learned anything?
I paid good money for that copy, too, by the way.
You did not. Did you learn anything?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
It is a very helpful book. And it's actually one of 19 books you've authored.
I know. I can't even believe I've written that many. That's been a great way for me to sort of get the word out on a number of subjects. And one of them relates to today's topic.
That's breaking free from stress. How does it relate to our clutter?
We went out and asked, and we put this on the website in terms of what does your clutter say about you?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting because you can look at someone's clutter and you can learn a lot about that person.
So you will analyze our clutter today.
I'm going to analyze your clutter and I'm going to tell you some things that you might learn about yourself.
Well, let's go to social media for just a second. Bruce says, what clutter? I don't have clutter. I can't stand clutter.
Yeah, so there's that side of what we can look at, too, is that there are people who are very neat and tidy, and they don't have a lot of clutter, and that's not an issue, and it's not creating stress.
Right.
But I have to tell you, Chris, when we posted this, we had so many people write in and tell us what they thought their clutter meant and that they're struggling with that.
You know, I remember growing up, and my mom, we had just come back from someone's house, and she said, their house is so neat and clean. Why is this place like? And my dad said to her, they don't do anything.
Oh.
They don't have a life.
They have no life. They're just cleaning all the time,
right? They just clean all day, right.
Well, that's kind of my German roots. You know, cleanliness was next to godliness in a German family, and we did not have a mess.
Really?
So I'm not one of those people who really struggles with clutter, but I know a lot of people who do.
Right.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
And you tell me the answers to this. Do you save your old college sport uniform to remind you of your days of glory?
Well, I've got a high school jersey.
Do you?
I was not a good enough athlete to play college sports.
Yeah. Did you save it?
It's boxed away somewhere. I haven't seen it in years.
But you're holding on to it.
It's still there, yes.
Isn't it interesting? I've got Norm's college soccer shirt.
Really?
And it's funny because we're going to his homecoming in a few weeks, and I pulled it out. It doesn't fit him. It fits me.
All right. You have to wear it. Right.
But why do we save that? You know, you have to think about what's going on that we save that shirt. And it has something to do with sentimental feelings and wanting to save a part of the past that we felt really good about.
Well, we invested so much of ourselves wearing that jersey.
Right. We met. He was a college soccer player and I was a cheerleader. It's like the sappiest meeting story in the universe. But that's part of why we saved it, because it had some memories there.
Right.
I don't think I saved anything from my cheerleading stuff, though. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means. Now, here's the second question. Do you have bins and bins of childhood stuff in your basement or in your attic?
No, and neither does my mom.
Really?
She did not keep all of our old stuff around.
Now, a lot of people will save things over and over and say, you know, maybe my children will play with this one day. I saved every Barbie that I had.
Wow.
And I thought, if I had a daughter, this is going to be just great stuff. So we lugged this stuff around. I mean, we had the dream house, the fashion shop, the car, the whole thing. And I thought, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband kept saying, why are we saving this? Every time we moved, we'd have these bins and bins and bins. And I said, because if we have a daughter, she's just going to want this stuff. Well, guess what happened?
Did Katie like to play with the ball?
No. She didn't. I had the original with the ponytail.
Oh, no.
She looked at it, and she goes, oh, Mom, I don't want that Barbie. She probably wanted TV anchor Barbie or something, but we had the old-fashioned one. So all of that stuff she barely used.
Mm-hmm.
So that really doesn't work so well. So here's the third question. Do you have clothes you never wear, but you think you might?
No.
No?
Once it's old or doesn't fit, it's out of here.
Oh, man. Yeah. I know a lot of people who have multiple sizes in their closets thinking that one day I'm going to wear that dress. I save suits, business suits, that I spent a lot of money on.
Right.
But they're so out of style, I'm never going to wear them again.
Once an article of clothing is too small for me, there is
no
hope. There is no hope of going back, so it's out of here.
And you know what? I have this leather coat in my basement that has the big, huge shoulder pads because I bought it way back when shoulder pads were in.
In 1989,
But it's a leather coat. I can't part with it.
Right.
So I need to work on that probably. All right, here's our last question. Is your closet a window into your mental health?
I hope not.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. And right before we go to break, we're going to tell you what it might mean if you answered some of those questions yes.
All right. Well, I can already tell that we will learn a few things today on this program. Let me tell you what Linda said this week. She says, my clutter says, this woman is leading a very fruitful, fun, productive life, and she is not an obsessive, compulsive perfectionist anymore. Wink emoticon. She's no longer a slave to things. She is free.
Wow.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show on Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter, at Dr. Linda Helps. What does your clutter say about you? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Clutter is just one of those maddening things of life. Sometimes I get behind with putting things away. It drives me crazy.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and we'll walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website at drlindamental.com and online.
Hey, it's Dr. Linda Mental from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show, here on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. on Faith Radio. Join the conversation for our shows by commenting on questions and show topics posted on social media. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on my show, and leave your comments in the comment box. Or click on one of the social media icons and leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
I put stuff away as I use it, as soon as I finish with it. After a while, it kind of builds up a little bit, so sometimes you get a bit of clutter. But in that case, once it gets too much, I kind of just throw everything out and start over.
It's hard to get rid of clutter because people don't like to throw things away.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're asking the question, what does your clutter say about you?
You know, we just heard from a listener on the street that says it's hard to get rid of things because it's hard to throw things away. Why is that so difficult?
Well, that's really what we want to get at. Is there some kind of root meaning to this? There's some reason why we hang on to things when we don't need to. And the first thing I want to say about that is kind of what I mentioned about my husband's soccer shirt, mm-hmm. that a lot of times we hang on to things simply because they have sentimental meaning to us. I have every single handwritten card that my kids have ever written.
Right.
And I have them in a box.
I used to collect useless things like popcorn bags when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But you sort of grow out of that type of thing.
Did you keep them, though? In
for
a box
while,
somewhere?
Yeah, a box under my bed,
see,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that associated with a good memory?
No, I'm not
something
sure why
you did?
I did it, yeah. I'm not sure why we did that.
Well, a lot of times it has something to do with sentimental. Another reason is that sometimes when we hold on to things, it means that we're not letting go of something.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, we're holding on to the past. So what I think of with that, Chris, is if you've had a death of someone that you love, you hear this often where the person continues to keep their clothes in the closet
right.
or doesn't get rid of certain things. Sometimes that's because you want to grab that piece of clothing and you want to smell it. Reminds you of that person that's missing.
Hmm.
Or I hear this a lot in therapy in terms of divorce, that when one person hasn't wanted the divorce, sometimes they're holding on to something in the hopes that maybe it'll remind them of that person or it'll help them.
Right. What about people who are obsessive about keeping things?
We're going to talk in the last segment a little bit about that because mm-hmm. that's where you really want to check yourself. Are you doing this because you have this perfectionistic kind of obsessive personality and you're constantly saying, well, what if? What if I need that? Well, I'm not going to throw that away because what if the one time I need that?
But if someone's a perfectionist, how do they tolerate the mess that that can create?
Well, you have to work through the anxiety on that. And that's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. If you really have a problem with that obsessive, compulsive, or perfectionistic personality, mm-hmm. you have to learn to tolerate the anxiety of seeing a little bit of a mess. But I'm not one of those people who does that all the time. But I remember when we were moving again one time, I got rid of a ton of books. I just thought, books are really expensive to ship when you move. And I thought, you know what? It's time. So I gave books away to the public library. I gave them away to people I knew, to church libraries, to all kinds of things. And wouldn't you know, I got to my next job and I was looking for a book. Uh-huh. And I was like, I gave that book away and I needed it. So if I had this obsessive personality, that mm-hmm. would have just reinforced that idea that I should never throw anything away.
How is that like or not like wishful thinking type thing? Like, I may need that in the future. I may pick that guitar back up again.
Let's think about the person who keeps all the different size clothes in the closets.
Mm-hmm.
You might be thinking, okay, at some point I'm going to be able to wear that. So you're engaging in wishful thinking that way where you're thinking, all right, I'm going to hang on to that because there might be something change in my life where I'm actually going to need that. Or maybe I'm going to keep this guitar. Now, I
right.
had a guitar for a lot of years
mm-hmm.
that we kept because I always wanted to play the guitar. And I never learned how to play it. Eventually, we gave it away. But we hauled
it away.
My husband, finally, we gave that thing away. But that's one of the motivators sometimes is that wishful thinking. And then, of course, there are always just the people who are disorganized.
Right.
And they can't sort through things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you're somebody who has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which we call ADHD,
mm-hmm.
sometimes people hear ADD, organization is really hard for people that truly struggle with that. And so a lot of times you can tell by their desk, by their car, by their house, because organization is really hard. Or you might live with somebody who has dementia and can't remember, and they have clutter related to that.
That's unlike Nathan, who says, even with clutter, I am so organized I know where everything is. Filing is a CWT, which is a colossal waste of time.
CWT, a colossal waste of time.
It's a three-letter code for everything.
I know. Yeah. And then Rona said something kind of similar. She says she hates paperwork. That's what her clutter says about her. So, you know, there is this idea that people can be organized in their clutter. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's possible?
Maybe. Sometimes, especially in the middle of a project of some sort, it's best just to leave everything out because you'll spend all of your time going to get it back out of the
closet. Yeah, I tend to do that with unfinished things. So
right.
when I'm in the middle of working on something, I'll have several things on my desk and I know exactly which pile is which project and what I'm working on. So I think there can be a bit of organization
mm-hmm.
in your clutter, but if it starts to distress you and you can't find things and you're having problems, then it might be more of a problem than you're admitting.
There's two social media comments I want to mention here. Naomi of course, the question is, what does your clutter say about you?
Yeah,
she says, I don't know. It only talks when I'm not around.
I love that.
But then Stephanie says something, and I wanted you to dive into this. She says, I like shoes and sunglasses, and my husband and I work collectively 120 hours a week.
So they're both working about 60 hours a week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes to buy things and collect things. There's where you got to wonder, is there some organization problems? Mm-hmm. Is there some compulsive shopping and buying going on? That sounds a little bit like there needs to be some balance in
right.
that person's life. So I would say maybe look at those number of hours you're working, cut back a little bit, spend some time, organize your life, look at your impulsivity
mm-hmm.
and shopping. Because sometimes people are getting clutter because they impulsively buy. You know, I do a
right.
show around the holidays almost every year about compulsive buying and shopping.
Right.
Because that's a real problem for a lot of people, especially as we move into the holiday season.
That could get into the whole idea of not being able to make a decision. I'll just buy three because I can't figure out which one I like best.
And you know what contributes to that? I think all of these shows, I don't watch a lot of them, but for a while I got into this Storage Wars show. I don't know if you saw that. And they open up the storage. You buy a storage locker. You bid on it. You don't have any idea what's in it.
Yeah, I've watched a lot. I've always appreciated their ability to walk up because you can't go into the locker.
The storage, just, yeah.
And they walk up and say, yeah, we'll go ahead and get it. We'll bid on that thing.
Yeah. Know? Either they get a bunch of junk. Which
right.
is probably more of the time we just don't see those on television.
Right.
But see, it relates to this idea that something could be valuable because mm-hmm. a lot of times in those lockers or at an auction or someplace where you think you've just gotten rid of something, I know somebody who found something very valuable at the Goodwill.
Wow.
And they recognized it and they bought it for like a dollar and the thing was worth $1,000 or something.
Was this person a hoarder or did they actually
No. They just knew it. No,
right.
they weren't. But that does play into why we sometimes hold on to things. I've got lots of stuff from my grandparents
mm-hmm.
that I'm just not sure. I look at stuff and I go, I don't know, is that valuable? Is that something I should hold on to or is that something I should give away? My advice if you're dealing with that would be have somebody come out and look at it and tell you whether or not it's valuable. If it's not,
right.
pitch it.
Cindy says there is a positive side to clutter. She says, I'm a resource person. Just ask the young woman who moved here 2 weeks ago and took home a huge bag of pillows, clothes, and books.
Oh, what a nice way to do it. So she
right.
gives her stuff away. She hangs on to a lot of stuff and gives it away. Well, I want to give a few strategies before we end the show. We don't have a lot of time till the break, but let's just give a couple. So if you're struggling with this whole idea of clutter, one good idea is to designate a spot for whatever it is. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it's incoming papers or your bills or papers, papers and magazines and those kind of things really can take up a lot of space. So,
especially with kids because kids bring
yeah.
stuff home from church, from school.
Yeah, and you can't save all of that stuff. So you might want to just say, okay, here's a spot, and then make sure that once a week you're going through the inbox
right.
or the place that you've put it, and you're pitching things that you absolutely know you won't use.
What is a starting zone?
One of the tips that I was thinking about was you start clearing one place. So you don't want to look at the whole clutter because it gets overwhelming.
Right.
So if your house is really cluttered, you need to say to yourself, what is one little place? Could I clean this desk? Could I just clean the kitchen table? And so if you can start small and it's manageable, that's a whole lot better than if you look at the whole thing and go, oh, this is overwhelming, I'll never get through this.
Today's program, What Does Your Clutter Say About You? This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. You can follow Dr. Linda on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps and visit her website at drlindamental.com. We'll be right back.
Honestly, I don't allow clutter. I just kind of put everything back where it belongs.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news, or read the economic forecast, or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, He knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, He wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do. He does. And third, He wants us to trust Him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who He says He is, or He will do what He says He will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse His goodness, accept His grace, and walk in the confidence that He is in control and He's working all things for your good.
It's very easy for me to get rid of clutter, but that's just because I'm a type A personality, very neat all the time. So actually things don't get very cluttered to begin with.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show this Saturday morning, and we're talking and asking the question, what does your clutter say about you?
You know, we just heard from the listener that said, hey, look, I'm a type A person. I know how to keep things clean. But then you take Debbie, who says, I've got 10 children.
Wait, do that again.
I've got 10 children, 10. All with different needs, and I'm only one person. Someday my house will be neat again, and it will be very quiet. I will enjoy the chaos while it is here.
Debbie, with 10 kids, she does need some tips. So I'm going to give her one tip, another tip here.
Okay.
So one of the things I would suggest is just schedule a decluttering weekend.
Okay.
Where you go, this is what we're going to do this weekend. We're going to tackle it. We're going to hit it. And with 10 kids, Debbie could get them all involved. And they could make some real progress with one weekend. So call it a declutter weekend and make it a fun thing.
That could take all weekend.
It could. Mm-hmm. In some houses, it could.
Right.
Another tip is that if you really are having a problem starting, just pick five things and say, right, make a list and go, I'm going to do these five things and I'm going to get them done and then you're going to feel good. So if you have a list and you check them off and it's just a short list of five things, you're going to feel like you did something. It's actually going to motivate you to do more.
And you need to see the room clean.
This is going to sound like a weird strategy, and I don't mean anything weird about this. But sometimes it helps if you visualize, and I don't mean that in any kind of spooky, weird, unchristian way.
Right.
But if you sometimes just visualize the space and you say, okay, if I can imagine this clean, what would it look like? Sometimes that's motivation to get people going. So try that and just see if it works for you. It may not. It may be too strange for you to do that.
Well, it's a good way to set a goal.
It is.
Right now, I can't see the top of the table, but it would be nice to see the top of the table. What would it look like?
Visualize it. It's kind of what athletes do. They do a lot of that kind of, I'm going to visualize myself winning the race or, you know, hitting this certain way in football and that kind of thing. So it's kind of that same strategy.
You can quickly see what the top of the table looks like if you pick up one end of the table and just
That's not
do that.
Well, you could, but then maybe you have to clean. Maybe that
then
would help some
people.
Then it's
in the floor, right.
Here's the last one that we have time for, and that is to teach your kids where things belong. This only applies to parents, of course, but if you teach their kids the habit of putting things away right when they come in the door rather than just dropping things, throwing things, I made my kids make their bed every morning. I hope that's a habit that sticks in the long run. So I think that's a big help.
And kids, I would think, pick up those habits
from
the parents.
Yeah, and that's it. They model and they learn. Before we run out of time, Chris, let's talk just a few moments about the dangers of clutter. If you have a lot of clutter in the house, and I don't think we've thought about this, that it can create danger in the home. It actually can be a source of a fire hazard,
right,
if you think about that. And then I'm thinking about all the kids and people and families that struggle with allergies. So if there's a lot of clutter, a lot of dust accumulates, and even sometimes we put things on shelves and places and we're just throwing things up there. We don't even think about that. Maybe the structure can't even hold that.
Wow.
And sometimes I've seen places and people have told me where things have fallen in the house and it's been somewhat dangerous. So that really is something you have to think about, the danger that you might be creating.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on who you're living with, clutter can create resentment with the people that are around you. It can cramp the living spaces, because if you're always tripping over something or you can't get through a walkway because of that, and it can really be frustrating for the people that you live with.
Well, if clutter gets to that point, that could be where we draw a fine line between a mess and hoarding.
Yeah. We didn't want to really focus a whole lot on hoarding on the show, but there's a show on television about hoarding, and you really do need to think if your clutter is at the point where people around you are feeling very distressed, then you might want to consider. So let me give you a couple ways to think about the line between hoarding and clutter. Hoarders can't hide. Obviously, if your stuff is out all the time and it's around and people see closets with price tags and all kinds of stuff in it, that means that there's a problem going on. Usually in a home with a hoarder, you can't enjoy the space because it's so difficult to navigate the space. Hoarders feel frustrated. They feel overwhelmed. They get resentful. People around them, as we mentioned, get resentful. And they start to do this excessive buying and acquisition of stuff just for the sake of having stuff. If you feel like you can't part with your possessions, regardless of their value, you might have an issue. So think about if you're creating unsanitary conditions, if there's some excessive collecting and it's creating financial problems in your family, or if the people you love feel distressed, then you might be one of those people that has a hoarding problem. So what does your clutter say about you? It could say that you're a perfectionist. Maybe you're obsessive. Maybe you're disorganized. Maybe you're overly sentimental.
And what if my clutter says I simply have bad taste?
Well, it could say that as well. It could also say that you're a worrier, or that you have trouble closing the past. Or you could be struggling with what we just said a moment ago, hoarding. So we hope that helps you. Think about, what does your clutter say about you? Well, many thanks to our producer, Katie Reshetko, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our man on the street, Derek Battle, and thanks, of course, to you, Chris, and from all of us here at Faith Radio. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.